Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the Autism and Asperger's Scouting communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism and Scouting or Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, support services, and radio broadcasting. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Hi, and welcome back to Autism and Scouting Radio. My name is John Critcher, and I'll be your host today. Autism and Scouting Radio is part of the Autism and Scouting program. This program is brought to you by Autism Empowerment. To get more information about Autism Empowerment and the Autism Empowerment and Autism and Scouting program after this broadcast, please visit us at www.autismempowerment.org. You can join us on Facebook and Twitter and another variety of multimedia outlets. If you're interested in upcoming broadcasts or listening to any previous broadcasts in archive or via podcast, you can do so there as well. If you have questions about any of the programs or have any suggestions, I can be reached at john@autismempowerment.org, and we look forward to all of your feedback. Before we get started with today's show, I want to thank my last co-host, Karen Krejcha, who was on our last show last Wednesday, where we talked about bullying and scouting. That show has skyrocketed and has currently had over 500 listens, and it's something that's kind of an important subject that unfortunately does happen in scouting, and there's no need for it to happen, and hopefully with this the communication can start to open up and it can stop. I also want to, the previous show, Autism Asperger's in Girl Scouting, has almost over 200 listens to and is also now our number two show. So I encourage people to go and listen to both of those shows. Those are both excellent shows. Today will be a first for us here at Autism and Scouting Radio. In the past, we've actually had panels, but they've all been in the same room, talking on the same outlet. But today we have two people from two different areas in the nation. First is Erica Schwan. She's out of California. And then we have Lindsay Foster out of the great state of Texas. In fact, Lindsay was actually on our show talking about Asperger's and Girl Scouts, so it's nice to have her back talking about that. Eric is also a repeat guest, and we value her and everything that she has, her insights as well. Today we're going to talk about how to manage when you have multiple scouts in multiple types of units, juggling between doctor's appointments, school, and then maybe one activity with one child is pretty hectic. But how do you do that when you have multiple scouts going to multiple places at multiple times? So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and bring Lindsay and we're going to bring Erica on air. Welcome, both of you. Are you there?
Hi there.
Thank you for. We'll start with Erica first. How many scouts do you currently have, and in what programs are they in?
Okay, we have three boys. Luke is in Venture Crew and Order of the Arrow. Zechariah is in Scouts on a Continuation due to having autism, and he's also in Order of the Arrow. And Daniel is in Scouts and also in Order of the Arrow.
And how about you, Lindsay? Where your scouts all lie?
I have three scouts as well. Mac is in Boy Scouts. He just made first class, so we're not to Order of the Arrow yet. Mary Grace is a Girl Scout, cadet level, and Teddy is in a Weeblow, and he's in a Cub Scout pack.
So, Erica, you're venturing between two different programs, and Lindsay, you're going between three different programs, correct?
Yes, correct. Right. Well, in Order of the Arrow has their own meetings and events, too, so that definitely comes into play. So it's really still trying to deal with three.
Okay. This question is to both of you. I guess this time we'll start with Lindsay. How many days of a month are do you dedicate to scouting per month, would you say, on a monthly basis?
Well, it's probably easier for me to think of it by the week.
Okay, that's fine.
But Mondays are Cubs and Boy Scouts, and Thursdays are Girl Scouts, and then since August, pretty much every weekend, we've had something scout-related with one of the units. So I would say probably 75% of our month is taken up doing scouting.
And how about you, Erica?
It goes anywhere from about 8 days a week through up to about 3 weeks of the month, or excuse me, eight days to 3 weeks of the month, 3 weeks of the month being during the summer months. Now that we're coming out of summer, things are starting to slow down again until the holidays come around, and then it'll pick up because we do different service requirements and things like that throughout the winter months as well.
Okay. Erica, for you, what does a typical week look for you? I mean, Lindsay kind of gave, you know, on a typical week. How about you? What does a typical week look for you like for you?
Well, ours is a little bit different than other people because we do homeschool, so we don't have to worry about getting to and from school and that type of thing. So Zechariah and Luke are both working on college courses online here at home, and Daniel's now in high school. So with that, we have Venture Crew once to twice a month on Mondays. We have Scouts, Boy Scouts every Wednesday, and then we have Order of the Arrow one Thursday of every month. And we also are involved with one weekend every month up to two weeks complete being involved with Boy Scout activities, again, during the summer because of campouts, summer camp, things like that. So it does get busy.
And from my understanding, you have to drive quite a ways to get to your Boy Scouting units, right?
Exactly. We live quite rural, so just to get to meetings is anywhere from 30 to 45 miles. And in the case of Venture Crew, it's 60-mile drive each direction, which doesn't help with today's gas prices.
First of all, to you, Erica, if you have something like conflicts, how do you prioritize an activity?
Luckily, Luke just started doing Venture Crew this summer once he turned 18. He transferred from Boy Scouts and went into Venture Crew. And so we're still getting used to the Venture Crew and what all is going to be involved with that. So there hasn't been too much conflicting yet. Not sure on this upcoming summer how much is going to get involved. But what we've done is work with the other families in whether it's crew, OA, or scouts. We have the boys talk to the other parents and see about catching a ride if they're from our local area and having to drive, you know, to and from any of the meetings or events themselves. And then we reciprocate, too.
How about you, Lindsay? Because I know you have to deal with both Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, and Girl Scouts.
My husband is heavily involved in Wood Badge as well, so that throws another monkey wrench in the mix. But typically, Scouts is the priority of activities in our family. It's what our family does together. So my daughter goes to Cub Scout meetings because I have to open the building. My husband takes our oldest to Boy Scouts because he's an ASM with the Boy Scout unit. So they go together, and we split Monday night. And then Thursday, because my husband is also a registered Girl Scout, he stays home with the boys typically unless he's got Wood Badge commitments or he has to work late. And then the boys come and sit in the meeting and entertain themselves. And then Thursdays we do that, and then we split up activities, things like popcorn sales, and of course cookie season is huge with my Girl Scout troop, so we have to organize our lives around what's going to happen. In fact, my husband will be doing Wood Badge during cookie season this year, so that's going to make life very interesting.
that actually brings up a question, because in our household we have a Cub Scout and a Boy Scout. So Monday nights for us is Boy Scouts, Wednesday nights is Cub Scouts, and then usually once or twice a week, on the weekends is some type of outing. Because you mentioned fundraising, and we came up, our both of our units, in my son's case, both do wreath sales and both. How do you split between the fundraising if, you know, both of them are doing similar types of fundraising? Any suggestions from anybody?
What we did with our boys was that our Cub Scout pack did not do show and sell popcorn. They just did sheet sales and online sales. So we encouraged all of our family and friends who wanted to do sheet sales and online sales to order from the Cub. And the people who wanted popcorn right now, we encouraged to go to the Boy Scout. And that's how we split the sales. Our Boy Scout troop also does other fundraising activities throughout the year. We do not participate in school fundraisers because our kids encourage people to do support their scout units, and we feel like the scouts need more support because it's a smaller unit than the school. So that's kind of how we split our fundraising.
How about you, Erica?
For us, when Daniel was in a Cub rather than a Scout, it was a little more difficult because, again, we were splitting it, and Cubs don't usually do it as much in fundraising as the Boy Scouts do. So at that time, we would kind of focus on his one fundraising event a year, and the older boys would actually help the Cub pack instead rather than helping their own troop that day. So, and now we're running into the same thing with crew OA and scouts. We will probably end up having to split some of that up too. Again, coming into the crew, it's a new situation that we're coming into with this upcoming year.
And obviously with the cookie sales with you, Lindsay, that's a pretty easy one.
Well, no, it's not, because we have 30 girls in our troop, and they all have the goal to be what's called a Diva Girl Scout, which is 1,000 bucks as a girl. And when you have 30 girls in a troop and you live in a large metropolitan area, we had 56 tabletops, which is the equivalent of a boost sale or show and sell for popcorn, and we did 56 of them in 6 weekends. So
Wow. Coordinating
that, counting the tens of thousands of dollars that we make in a weekend, and getting my daughter, in addition to all the cookies where they need to be, means a commitment from the entire family on a cookie goal. So it's a little bit more juggling than you'd think.
Now, do either of you have like a no scouting, like you put away one weekend a month where there's no scouting, or is it pretty much every weekend there's something going on? How about you? Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, for us, if life's getting too stressful or too hassled, we'll skip a meeting that week if need be. But beyond that, we don't really take time off from events because that's or community events, or whether it's just a camp out or anything like that. We try to make sure we're at all of the events. As a unit, it's important to the younger boys, especially myself having boys that have been in scouts for a while. So they're the role models for the younger boys to be there and to be in those class A's and to look sharp and ready to work, or ready to participate in whatever manner within the community.
And what about you, Lindsay?
Well, we have pretty much something scouting going on every weekend. It's what our family does. We ask our sons to commit community service hours to our daughter's Girl Scout service projects in the same way that our daughter commits community service hours to her brother's service projects, and we family camp once a month because the Boy Scout troop camps on the third Saturday of the month, and we already have that blocked out. I get kind of a mommy weekend with the Cub and the Girl Scout, and I can honestly say my Cub is looking forward to moving up to Boy Scout so that he can camp on the third weekend of the month, and my Girl Scout is looking forward to having a boy-free weekend. So It's beneficial, I do think. That's where all of our friends are and our social group is. So it's where we see all the people that we know, and it's just kind of what we do as a family. We don't participate in a whole lot of other stuff, although our kids are involved in band and choir at school. So we do those concerts, and in lieu of scouting activities that they conflict, we choose the school activity. And I do teach, so there are nights where I have to be at the school. But other than that, scouting is what we do.
Very nice. And I totally agree with that. I mean, one of the nice things in our family is having a Boy Scout and a Cub Scout, is that my oldest is my den chief, for my youngest is den. So when we go to my Cub Scouts den meetings, my oldest comes with me as a den chief. So that's kind of how we worked our that out. So that was pretty good. Are there specific tips that you can, because there's that's a lot of time commitment for both of you. You know, starting with you, Lindsay, are there a couple tips that you use to schedule or manage all of the times?
Well, I keep a coordinated calendar, for one thing. And the other thing that I've done is learned how to use slow cooker recipes so that we're not eating on the road, eating fast food meals on the way to Scouts. I've found that that helps, and my kids have learned the schedule. So, and, of course, schedule is hugely important in our family, but we just put everything on the calendar. Our Girl Scout troop plans a year in advance. Our Cub Scouts plan 6 months at a time. Our Boy Scouts plan 6 months at a time. So we pretty much know what our schedule is going to look like at least 6 months out.
Is that the same thing with you, Erica? You're able to – how do you manage all of the different events?
For us, it's been a little bit differently. Again, we do similar to what Lindsay does as far as slow cooker recipes rather than trying to eat on the road. What we do during the summer as a troop during meetings is we meet in a park and we barbecue there at the park all summer long. So all the families kind of do a potluck all throughout the summer. So that's kind of fun because the families also get to know each other, and it keeps the summer a little bit more casual during the meetings. So then we also, again, communication with the other parents in within each of the groups, whether it's crew, Order of the Arrow, or Scouts, is get to know the other parents in the troop and the other boys in the troop, and find out if one of your children can catch a ride if you feel comfortable with that family, obviously. So for us, that's been very helpful. Our scoutmaster's son and our boys all happen to be best friends, so that's been beneficial to us a lot of times, too. During the summers, when it's a lot more chaotic, it's more involved of, again, scheduling, always having a calendar available all year long, but especially in the summer. This year, Luke intends to work up at summer camp, let alone being in crew and OA and having events all summer long, too. So it's going to add a new wrench into the works.
Now, you mentioned, like, the eating aspect of that. So you both kind of have been able to have stuff like cooking all day, and then once you're able to go eat and then sit down as a family and still be able to participate?
Yes, most of the time. Yeah, we'll either eat beforehand or as soon as we get home from whichever meeting, so...
Now, I was curious what your summers look like. How's your summers look? You said, Erica, I think you said your summers are pretty chaotic.
Oh, yes, it definitely is, because they have events. They have a summer camp with Boy Scouts and with crew, and then they have events for Order of the Arrow during the summer as well. And Luke would also like to work up at summer camp this year, so that's going to be a new experience as well. So definitely keeping things on track during the summer and making sure everyone is where they need to be when they're supposed to be there is definitely chaotic.
And what about you, Lindsay? How do your summers compare to, say, the wintertime activities?
I think our summers are actually slower, mostly because I send kiddos off to camp, although no three kids are at camp all at the same time. So I'm picking up and shuttling all summer long. My husband goes to summer camp. He takes his vacation, and that's what he does with the family. And our pack also does meals similar to what Erica's group does in the summertime, but we do it at the pack meeting once a month at 6 o'clock. We found that we had better attendance at pack meeting if we did a potluck, so every month we do plan a different potluck, and everybody brings a dish to pass, and we all share and sit down and eat. We found that that builds our pack as a family unit, and that's worked really well for us.
Now, have either one of you found where your kids, you know, just need some extra time, you know, break from scouting, or how does that work? Does that make sense?
Yeah, we're actually kind of going through that right now. Daniel has been involved with Cub Scouts, and then going, and now he's a Star Scout level at this time, Star rank, and he's also been in OA for a year. And he's just kind of, he wants to just relax on the scouting a little bit. So for him, we're going to go ahead and relax. And he has a few more years to keep working toward his eagle. So just, we told him it's okay. He can take that time needed.
And what about you, Lindsay? How do you, I mean, do your kids ever say, you know, I just need a break or anything like that?
Well, have they asked for a break from scouts if they've had a rough day at school or if something's going on and they just can't handle it? Absolutely, we would give them the break and the night off because it is kind of a push. I think that because we've limited the amount of activity that they do, we're not in karate, we're not in sports, we're not taking music lessons, those sorts of things. My kids don't feel like they're overrun with activity.
Okay.
And because we do control the calendar, you do have to learn to say no to some things. You don't have to participate in every single service project. You don't have to go on every trip. And I think that it's important to say there are times where family events come first, other activities come first, school comes first. And I think it's the benefit of Scouts. It's always the thing I've told people on in the pack is, Scouts will always be there when you want to come back and when you need to take a break or when you have a sporting event and you have a season you have to do. Scouts will always be there. It's not like football that only lasts for 3 months.
Yeah, from what we do, my oldest son, he usually picks and chooses which Eagle projects he wants to go and serve on. He's usually typically people he knows rather than going on every single Eagle project. You know, and then same thing with the Eagle Courts of Honors. And he picks and chooses the people he actually knows and wants to go out and support. And I think that works pretty good as far as where we are. Are there any other how do your kids react? I mean, as far as mental, or, you know, I mean, as far as reactions as far as if they feel overstressed or anything like that. How do you work with them as far as that's concerned? What I'm saying is, any of your kids ever need like just a sensory break from when they're going from outing to outing? Does that make sense?
Well, my daughter.
Go ahead, Lindsay.
I'm sorry. Okay. My daughter's Girl Scout troop has 30 girls in it, and we meet in a fairly small room for 30 girls and 6 to 8 leaders. So she has the option. There is an area where she can go when it gets too loud and too chaotic, where she can remove herself from the situation, and she just has to let an adult know where she's going. But there are times that absolutely we have to step out of the area and say, go to a different area and say, this is too much or I'm overwhelmed.
Is that similar to you, Erica, as well?
Exactly. We've done that with Zach primarily. He usually will step away on his own when it's just too chaotic of a situation for him to be in the middle of. He will step out, but the problem is he'll go find a quiet spot, and unfortunately he tends to fall asleep. So usually someone has to go track him down and figure out, he needs to tell somebody exactly where he's going because he gets bored on his little break and he'll fall asleep. So Big Scout, luckily, the other boys within the troop and OA know how
he is, so they don't, they think of it as being funny, so they just keep an eye on him. And then for Daniel, again, because he's been involved for so long and he's acquired a high rank at a young age of 14, he's already a star. So we said, okay, you need that break, that's just fine. And he knows that the opportunity is there to still continue earning merit badges and to go to meetings here and there rather than every Wednesday be at every meeting. For us, the meetings are a lot more informal within our troop, except when there's an event coming up. So that's the one, the meetings we're going to focus on is being there for the meetings that are going to be about events when events are around the corner.
That's awesome. I think that you guys give a lot of good tips on how to work with the scouts. We have only about 4 minutes left. I mean, the time usually goes really by kind of quickly here. We're luckily going to be able to, starting at the middle of, towards the end of the month, actually have a longer show. So that, we're excited about that. So why don't we start with Lindsay. What would you like to share? I mean, any other final thoughts about tips that you'd like to share with our audience?
I think the most important thing is to look at your calendar, balance it, know what works for you and your family, and know when it's okay to say no and not take on things you don't want to.
That's kind of hard sometimes to say no, huh? what about you, Eric? You got about a minute or so. What would you like to say?
I would agree with exactly with what Lindsay said as far as knowing when to say when, and you know when there's enough going on and when you can tell that your kids are getting uncomfortable too. It's time to step back and take a breath.
That's awesome. And I think, you know, that's good food for thought for almost any the child or the scout doesn't even need to be on, I think, with special needs or on the autism spectrum. That's a good food for thought for any working with any scout or any child in almost any circumstance. I want to both thank Lindsay and both Erica for being on the show today. This has been really interesting. I think this is because there's so many people out there that have multiple scouts with multiple events going on. It's kind of nice to making sure that this information gets out there. But both of you, thank you very much, and hopefully you have a wonderful rest of the day.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me, John.
You've been listening to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the autism and Asperger's scouting communities. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism Empowerment Radio tab or visit our Autism and Scouting page. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much, everyone, and have a wonderful rest of the day.